Hey guys, it's April. Did you know that you can leave us a voice message with your feedback or questions on our Anchor homepage and we can incorporate it directly into the podcast? Isn't that cool? Just head to anchor.fm/east2westwls, which is our Anchor homepage. Scroll down a little bit until you see the message box and then use your smartphone to leave us a message. We'd be so happy to hear from you and we're very excited to incorporate your questions into an upcoming show. Thanks for your continued support of East to West WLS. Hi, welcome to East to West WLS, the podcast where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April and I'm the West.
And I'm Jason and I'm the East.
And today, if you are watching this, you will notice that the one and only Miss Natalie is joining us. Hi.
Hey.
Dude. So excited that you get to record this with us today because we are celebrating my second surgery anniversary. And without you two friends, I would not have found the success that I have found. So I am very excited to have this conversation with you guys because you two are instrumental in me maintaining a 120-pound weight loss for 2 years.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
You know, and I know that there's a lot of people in this community who have maintained their weight for long. Oh, all three of us have maintained a low weight. And the 2 year mark is such a big deal because if you can maintain your low weight for 2 years, you have like your chances of long-term success just grow exponentially. You go from like 50% chance of regain all the way down to like 17 or like a, you know, a very small number. And the longer you can maintain your weight, then the longer or, you know, the bigger chance that you have of keeping it off long-term. So as soon as I learned those numbers from Wendy, I was like, okay, 2 years, I have to make it to 2 years. I have to keep making, you know, the hard choices. I got to do the work and blah, 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 blah. Just 2 years, 2 years, 2 years. And I remember I got to the first year and it was like, okay, year one. And then I really kind of was a little bit more lackadaisical. I just slacked a little bit, but I kept looking for those easy ones. I just kept doing what I was supposed to be doing. And now I'm at 2 years, I've dropped a pant size. In 3 months, I went from a 14 to a 12, haven't, you know, changed any bit of the weight. But I mean, it's just like, oh my God, I'm just so thankful that like, okay, the journey doesn't end at year one, right? Like year one is very important. We got to focus on year one. But then when we get to year, in between year one and two, you're still focusing. It just looks and feels a little bit different because you feel so normal. I think you just feel so like, you know, just, it doesn't become quite as difficult, but yeah, just to know that like so many changes are happening in between year one and two, it's just like music to my ears because it means that I don't have to be worried or panicked about like, oh, did I blow my first year? No, I did not. So
it's kind of like building a custom car. You spend all year one building it and then year two, you get to start driving that bitch and that's amazing.
Oh, Jay, as always, at every freaking time we record, you just got to bop in with some, yeah, exactly.
Well, I knew that was something that you could actually, you know, wrap your head around because you've actually done that very thing. So you would know I'm speaking in terms of my love language, which is custom cars.
Right? I can't tell you how many carburetor adjustments I've made, how many brakes I have pumped and clean. Oh yeah, I restored a 1965 Impala Super Sport basically from the, well, not from nuts and bolts up, but I mean, I had a lot of elbow time in that wet sanding. So yeah, wow. I feel that. I feel that to my core. Yeah. All right, my friend. So the conversation today is gonna really, well, I guess revolve around two things. We're gonna talk about my 2 years, and I've already told you this, it makes me very uncomfortable because you guys are asking me questions, and not only that, but I have not heard these questions, I've seen these questions, it's giving me a little bit of anxiety, so we're going to get through that first so I can calm the frick down and not be thinking about that, but then we're going to shift our conversation and we're going to talk about how we have fun after bariatric surgery, right, because this month we're focusing on fun in the sun, right? I think there's a misnomer. People think that like after bariatric surgery, life is horrible and there's no fun in life anymore. We are here to say that is absolutely not the case. And we are going to talk, we're going to talk about that. So, okay. We just have to do this. I just have to get over this.
I don't know. Oh, I'm God. Kind of enjoying having this power, you know,
I know.
Like
right?
I could hold off.
Making Bopra squirm. I like it.
Oh, God. Oh, unbelievable. Man. All right, you guys, let's do it. Let's dive in. Let's get these questions asked. And
hey, it's April with East to West WLS. I don't know about you, but after I dropped a significant amount of weight, my body just didn't feel like my own, and I needed help feeling like it was my own again. So I started receiving chiropractic care. If you live in the Tacoma area, I cannot recommend Grit City Chiro more. Dr. McKenzie is passionate about helping you feel, function, and live better. Check out her Instagram at Grit City Chiro or her website, gritcitychiropractic.com, for more info and to book your first consultation. And if you mention East to West, you'll get a discount on your first visit. I feel amazing after seeing her, and I think you will too.
All right, I guess.
I will let you go.
All right, so my first one, which I think is one that I have found myself enjoying asking, is what is the biggest or most surprising, shocking thing that you've learned about yourself during this experience, good or bad, or both?
Oh my God. There is a lot. There's a lot. I think what was most surprising to me is just how dependent I was on food to get through every aspect of my life. That continues to shock me even today. And it shocks me because every day I realize more and more just how controlling food was in my life. And the further I get away from that control, the more clearly I can see it. And it just speaks to the power that food can have over us. And when we are constantly relying on it one time, like, you know, you do it one time and then it's like, oh, well, that works. I'm going to do it another time. And then before you know it, that is just your everyday mode of operation. And you get to the point where you will never be able to overcome or overpower that without an outside tool. And that is probably the most shocking thing that I have really had to come to grips with. Mm-hmm. But what I am realizing 2 years out is that it really does not have any control over me anymore. There are moments when, you know, like I think, and we've all had this where you're at a restaurant or, you know, somebody makes something for you and you're like, oh my God, I just want to smash this entire, you know, like bowl of pasta or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Right. And you get a little bit of like, oh God, I wish I could just eat all of this. But now crazily, my rational brain goes, why are you panicking over quantity? Quantity has nothing to do with the enjoyment that you are going to get out of this dining experience. So very quickly, I'm amazed at how fast now I kick out of that old mindset and I kick into the new one. And then I'm moved on. I enjoy my meal and I'm good to go. So, yeah, good question.
Yeah. Good answer.
I'm going to go with what is one thing you thought was going to change when you had your surgery but did not?
Oh my God, this is a big one. And I have spent a lot of time in therapy unpacking this. I really thought that I would change fundamentally as a person. I was very fearful that like the person who I am at my core was going to change. And I think that's one of the reasons that I resisted bariatric surgery for so long. And I think it's also one of the reasons that I regained all of the weight that I had lost when I was doing all of the things before, right? Is that I was so worried, I was so panicked that, oh my God, if I lose a bunch of weight, I'm not gonna be the same person, I'm not gonna have the same, you know, sense of humor or personality, or my values are gonna change, and I'm just gonna become this person that I don't like. And at first I thought, I'm just using that as an excuse. But it really truly wasn't. It was one of my deepest, darkest fears when it came to losing the weight. And I can say definitively that that has not been the case whatsoever. And that really, I feel like more of who I have always been at my innermost core has the ability to live in the light instead of live in the shadow, right? I think I was always living my authentic self, but now all of a sudden, for whatever reason, right, I have the ability for more of that to come out more often. And that was a really big thing that I really had to overcome, that I really had to think about. And it's really scary to say to yourself, I don't want my core to change, right? I think some people have the opposite worry, they maybe don't know who they are at their core, and that's equally terrifying, right? Because it's like, oh my God, who am I? You're asking these big questions. So I was thankful that at least I've always felt like I can find my home, so to speak, internally, and now it's just more easily located, and it just, yeah, it just comes out more, and that's very joyful for me. That brings me a lot of happiness.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you say that, because when you post videos of yourself, like, you know, comparing yourself pre-op to now, you can tell that it's you. Like, it is you fundamentally, but mm-hmm. it's like stifled, you know, it's like not yes. quite, it's not quite you fully. So it's interesting that you say that, because you can tell, like, okay, you've always been April. You mm-hmm. can see that. And I've only known you for a year, so I only know you the post-op April, but yeah. you can tell in those videos, like, that's still you. That is you. But now it's like you like yeah. elevated, you know what I mean? And it's because of this journey that you're going through. And yeah, I think that's a really interesting way to put it.
Well, and it's good to see, like what you had said, there's been a lot of self-exploration in learning who you are post-op, because I think a lot of it comes from, we don't want to know who we are pre-op, because we're ashamed of who we are pre-op. Like, we don't like ourselves. I don't want to know about that person, because look at that person. I can't even stand to look at that person in the mirror or be that person. So why would I want to know any more about what's going on internally for that person? And so it's almost like, you know, you see like in cartoons and stuff where people just break out and just the light starts shining and they're like this whole new person. That's exactly what it feels like.
Yeah.
Like, you just have broken away from that old person that held you back, and you don't want to look back at it because you didn't want to look at it in the first place.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, that is a really good point, and I never really would have equated the two, but you are right, you know. And every time before surgery that I would see myself in a picture or I would see myself in the mirror, I was always looking at the edges of myself, and you know, it's like I always knew something else was there, but I just couldn't put my finger on it. It was like, I don't understand what's missing. I don't understand why I feel like I just can't be whole. I don't understand where this gaping hole is. And I think I was trying to fill that hole with food. I never felt enough, or I felt like something was missing, something was empty. And so instead of really looking at myself, I turned to food, because that was what I had programmed myself to do. You know, and now it's like, oh, there's nothing to fill, because I'm just, right? Like, I've just come out of that. There's no more holes anymore. It's just like, oh, this is me. This is who I am. This is who I was always meant to be. It's who I always was. You know, and to know that, like, I still like myself 120 pounds less. I don't think necessarily any different of myself. It's just very empowering to know that, like, oh, cool. Okay, this is who I am. I don't need to search for somebody else, because I'm home. This is me.
Right.
It's very, very freeing.
Amazing. This is another one I love, is how have your relationships changed from pre-op to the during to where you are now? Like, how has that journey been for you?
It has been really interesting. I think all of my relationships are stronger now post-op than they were pre-op. But the reason that they're stronger is because I have had to have very difficult conversations with a lot of people along the way. And when I started to feel like I was being treated differently, or if things just felt weird in any relationship, I made a point to say, like, this feels weird. Can we talk about this? And thank God I have friends and family who are very open to those conversations and aren't afraid to have those conversations. Because when somebody so drastically changes, it really takes a hot minute to just figure out, like, oh my God, what is going on, right? And it's not that nobody I think in my life was jealous or mad or upset or afraid or scared. I mean, I don't think it was any of that. I just think it was like I really am having a difficult time, you know, equating what you are going through with what I'm seeing and who I know you as a person. So that was really interesting. And then I think a lot of people just didn't know how to support me, and they wanted to support me. So then it became like, oh, let's spend all the time together, or let's do all the things, or I'm going to give you these things, or I'm going to buy you these things. And it was like, but this is so not what we have done in the past. Like, it just seemed different from what was before. And at first it was like, why is it? Just feels icky. And then it was like, well, of course it's different because I'm different. So it isn't the fault of anybody else. It was just like, I was changing so rapidly. I couldn't really articulate it. They didn't know how to articulate it. Right. So it was just this very, it was a long period of like trying to figure it out together. And thank God I have friends and family that wanted to figure it out together. And we're not, like I said, we're not afraid to have those conversations. You know, and really, I feel like, well, I mean, you guys know, like, I didn't know you to a year and a half ago. Like, I had no idea that you guys existed. So if anything, my social circle and my relationships have only flourished because now I'm meeting and becoming really good friends with people who are going through this with me. And I just feel like my social circle has grown even more, which I didn't think was possible because, I mean, you guys know, I have a very robust social circle. I am very blessed with friends and family. So to know that that's only growing in meaningful ways is a little bit shocking to me. And I'm 40. We always hear about like, it's so hard to meet new friends and do this in your 40s and 50s. And I'm like, really? I think I've got like 20 new like friends in my phone book that I can call at any time. Like, this did not seem difficult, but I mean, it is, I'm, you know, but yeah. So yeah, totally. The relationships have been very good. It's been a lot of work, and it really has come down to honest, frank conversations. You guys know, I do not beat around the bush. Something feels weird. Here's what I'm feeling. Can we talk about it? And that's pretty much exactly what I did with anybody that I was feeling a little like, eh, with. This just feels weird. But yeah, so thankful for that. So thankful.
Well, it's beautiful to have people that you can do that with, because having friends and people that support you are good. It's amazing to have that. But having those people that you can do just that with, where you know that there's not going to be a lot of tap dancing around what's really going on. We're going to talk about the elephant in the room. Like, what's up? Like, let's do this. What's going on? What's the problem? Because that's the only real way to truly solve what the issue is, get to the bottom of it and make people start feeling comfortable again. Be like, yes, there's been some changes, but I'm not different. I'm the same person. Like, we can still do the things we did before. Like, let's keep it real. Like, it just go on about it. Because that, at the end of the day, that's going to be the best way to get around any of that, no matter who it's with.
Yep, exactly. And I tend to not have a lot of time for the bullshit. Like, I don't know another way to say it, but it's just like, I don't need to dance around it. We don't need to tiptoe around this. Let's just figure this out so we can move on and go do something fun.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Life is short. You can't be beating around the bush, you know? And something I've learned, I've been also very fortunate to have people who are willing to have those conversations, and even some people who we don't even have the conversation, but we just go with it. And I know I can talk to them if I need to, but you know, those people that don't, it's like, okay, then you don't serve me in my life now. Like, I've outgrown you, or I, you know, you need to catch up because I'm still going and I'm going fast, you know?
Right. Yeah, and I think, and especially when you start feeling so awesome about yourself and your life, you really do have this urgent sense of like, I want to start doing stuff. Like, I have been slowed down for so long that now it's almost like you feel like, not warp speed, but you're just so excited to like do all the things. And then when people are like, and you're just like, okay, let's figure this out so we can move on and go do something fun.
Exactly. Yeah. And you feel good, and you want to feel good, and you want to get, you know, I mean, compliments are nice, but you don't want that to be all of it. You just want to feel good with your people and like, go have fun and go, you know, go out dancing or go kayaking or, you know, whatever. Yeah. And some people will be intimidated by it and not be able to catch up, but that's okay. Like, I think that's another part of it, is just being able to be okay with like, okay, if you, if you're not at my level, that's fine. Like,
yes. Yep. So. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. 100%. Okay. My next one will be, did you have a goal that you set for yourself post-op that you did not reach? And how did you deal with, not reaching it?
Yeah, you all know my goal is to get to 199. I am still not at Wonderland. And I was really upset about that at first. until I realized what I would have to do to get to Wonderland. And it's all the things that you know, that I think I already do. Well, not all, right? Like, to really get to Wonderland, I need to track everything that I eat and drink. Right, I need to be very truthful with my tracker. I need to get in very serious movement every single day, right? I got to hit the water, I got to hit the protein, you know, all those berry box things that we talk about. And I just don't, that goal is no longer worth it, right? That the price that I would have to pay to reach that goal is just not worth it yet. And I think what made that okay for me is that, you know, when I was like 13 or 14 months post-op, I switched insurance. I had to go see a new GP. I went to the GP. They did a blood panel, right? They did all these things. And then I went back for my follow-up and I was sitting there and the doctor came in and she just started talking about a concern that I had, like with my ear, I think, or something like that. And I had said, I mean, are you going to go over my lab results? Like what, you know, where am I at? How, you know, what's my health? And she just said, oh, well, I mean, we don't talk about that if everything's in the normal range. And I was like, I'm sorry, say that again? Everything is in the normal range. And she was like, yeah. Is there something that I should be concerned with? And I was like, I had bariatric surgery 14 months ago and I've lost 120 pounds. So yeah, I would like to know those things. And she just kind of laughed and she's like, oh my God, I would have had no clue. It was a new doctor, right? I hadn't sent any of the stuff, you know, from my bariatric center to her. And the doctor was like, I mean, I have worked with bariatric patients before, and normally the blood or the, you know, the nutrition, the iron is a little bit wonky. And she was like, there is absolutely nothing that would indicate that you have been a bariatric, that you are a bariatric patient, and you have no visible medical conditions like within a normal panel. And I was like, even my weight was normal for her. And I was like, oh my God, first time that had ever happened. And right. As soon as I got that validation that like I am metabolically well, it really allowed me to go, okay, can I take a breath? Can I maybe put, you know, not totally get off the gas, but could I just get to a place where I can find contentment and be happy with where I at? Because what I very quickly realized is that my goal with bariatric surgery was not to look a certain way, not to necessarily weigh a certain number or be a certain size. I just wanted to recognize myself in pictures and I wanted to be healthy. I didn't want to go to the doctor and say, oh, you're borderline diabetic or your cholesterol really ain't right. I sleep apnea. I wanted all those things to go away. And they did go away with bariatric surgery. And at that medical appointment, it finally was a relief for me. It was like, oh my God, I have done actually what I always wanted to do, right? I guess, sure, to be a size 10, that is a size I haven't seen since probably elementary school. To weigh 199, that would be amazing. I would love to weigh 199. But it's just not worth it for me at the moment because I am metabolically well. And that was like the deep, dark goal that I just didn't even realize was actually the goal. I mean, you guys know I don't really care about how I look. I don't really care. I mean, I do, but I don't, you know what I mean? It's a vessel that, as Charity says, how I look is the least interesting part about me. So that was very, very helpful. And I know that you, with the three of us, have talked about that a lot often about what our happy, healthy weight is versus the goals. So yeah, I am at 205 today. I've been at 205 for a very, very long time now. I'm thrilled with that. I am excited to be at a weight that is healthy for me. And I very much appreciate my size and shape. So that is how I got okay with not hitting that goal.
That's amazing. I don't think I've ever been metabolically well. I mean, even when I was very thin, I mean, I wasn't thin for the right reasons or the right way. Even then I wasn't metabolically well. Like, I don't think I've ever, like, listening to you talk about it and not have a concern coming from a doctor, I don't think I've ever had that. So, you know, to make that your goal, I think is a very good one. I mean, I think that's all what we generally want. I think we put numbers and sizes and measurements on things, but I think in the end, what we really want is to be metabolically well.
Yeah. I mean, I could say even as far out as I am, 16 or 18 months that I am post-op, my doctor still, because my primary care doctor was mine when I was at my heaviest, and she just, every time I came in, I was to a point where I was seeing her once every week and a half because I was so just bad. And she told my wife, she's like, every time I see this dude, I'm afraid he's going to die in my chair. And I'm just like, I hate it. And now I just come in there and she just sits there and stares at me. Just like, wow, I just can't believe what you've done and what you've been able to, like, this is amazing. I love having these and I don't have to yell at you or anything. And I'm like, oh, I know.
Yeah. That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, it's April. I don't know if you know this, but Gather Juice Company was our first podcast sponsor. And for good reason, they make some bomb ass juices. My absolute favorite is the Sunrise and the Pineapple Express. Night Vision and Goldilocks come in a real close third and fourth. I also very much enjoy their smoothies. Pina Colada, top of my list. If you live locally in the Tacoma area, swing by their 6th Avenue location and try it for yourself. You're going to be hooked. Big shout out to Gather Juice. Thank you for your sponsorship.
And then my last question is, what is something that you know now that you wish April 2-3 years ago would have known? Like, what is something that if you could turn back and tell April 2 years ago, what would you tell her?
I wish I would have not done all of the crazy things that I did to attempt to lose weight. I wish I could tell my old self, stop, get off the hamster wheel of diet culture and fad diets and all that bullshit and just go have bariatric surgery. That is my number one wish. I mean, I learned a lot about myself and I learned about, I guess, some nutrition, you know, doing all of those things that we've all done to live at a healthy weight. But in the end, it wasn't those programs that have allowed me to find success. It was bariatric surgery. It was the head work, the mental work, and it was this community. So I think I still would have found success if I had not done all of that crazy stuff. And really all of that crazy stuff just made me feel worse about myself as a person. It just got me further and further down, you know, cycling in the shame cycle in that horrible tornado of feeling awful about yourself and of always feeling like a failure and always feeling like there was something wrong with me. No, there was never anything wrong with me. I needed a medical tool to live my life at a healthy weight. And I wish that I just would have accessed the medical tool instead of going through all of that ridiculousness, because it wasn't going to work. And in the back of my brain, I knew it wasn't going to work when I was doing it, but I was just desperate because I didn't want to take the easy way out, or it's only for my 600-pound life, or that's the last resort. Nope, that should have been my first resort.
Do you think, this is the follow-up to what you said, do you think that you would have been ready, though?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. The only thing that gives me pause is that I know how instrumental our community has been in my success. And if I didn't have the community that we have today years ago, that might have been a really critical piece that would have been missing, you know, to my success. And I guess I can't definitively say that I would have been ready. I don't know if I would have been as successful. I think I probably still would have been successful, but I would have been really disappointed by the aftercare. I would have been horribly disappointed by the lack of support that existed out there. And it would have been a real struggle, a real struggle. That is kind of a difficult one, which is why, I mean, I just am so thankful for our little pocket of the internet. I'm so thankful for the two of you. I'm just so thankful for East to West. I'm just, you know, because like the support that we create for others is the support that I need every single day.
Yep.
So in a lot of ways, it's kind of self-serving. It's like, well, I need this, so I'm going to make this for me. And then maybe somebody else needs it too. So here you go.
Yep.
But, you know, I just, that's a really good question. It's hard to know. It's hard to Monday morning quarterback, but I think that's the truth, as truthful as I can get.
I just remember, when you said that, I remember sitting in the doctor's office thinking about having the surgery and remember, like, thinking to myself going, well, yeah, but if I do, then I'm not going to be able to tell anybody how I did it, because then they'll discount it because it's the easy, you know, because I didn't do it naturally, or I didn't do it long enough, I didn't work out and get it done. I was like, so, I mean, people are going to congratulate me for doing it, but am I really going to be able to say thank you because I really didn't work for it? I said all of this shit. Like, I had an inner monologue going with myself and was like, no, I don't need to do that, because if I do, it's not real, it's not right, it's not this, it's not that. And that bought me an extra year and a half, almost 2 years, just to sit and be where I gained probably another 30 or 40 pounds, just, you know, running off the rails, eating like an ass. And just, you know, then I get to the point where eventually I'm just like, look, if I don't do something, I'm not going to be around to worry about it. Like, I won't be able to tell anybody any damn thing because I'm not going to be here.
Right. Yeah. And I guess the reason I bring that up, because, you know, those who are maybe just listening for the first time may not know that I've had, this is my third surgery. I wasn't ready the first two times. I just wasn't. And I, you know, okay. if you're watching this, my dog is making himself at home on my lap. But I, you know, I wasn't ready and it didn't work for me. And it's because I kept it a secret. I didn't tell people that I had surgery. I didn't tell people. This was also back in 2009. So, I mean, the world has changed since then. But I just wasn't ready. It was just not the right time. It wasn't the right thing. And so, you know, when people say, oh, I wish I would have done this X amount of years ago. And I'm like, well, but maybe it wasn't the right time. You had to go through those lessons and learn about those fad diets and learn about yourself in a way that was difficult, but you did it.
Yeah.
So that's why I brought that up.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, and it's something that I think everybody who has made the decision or is on is living the lighter side of life, right? In post-op, you're always going to look back and go, oh, I should have done it sooner, because, like, especially for me, I'm like, I feel so great. Like, you know, life is just so different, you know, but then I also look back and it's like, but my life was great before surgery. I did some amazing things. I got multiple degrees. I traveled the world. I met my husband. I built a social circle. You know, like, I was all of these things that I'm very proud of. You know, would I have maybe enjoyed them at a higher level? Probably, if I was living in a healthy way, but I still did them. Right. So it's just, my wish for the world, besides like the end of poverty and hunger and all that kind of stuff, is I just wish that people would not think of bariatric surgery as a last resort, right? As the easy way out, or would not judge others for making a medical decision about their own health. I just wish that judgment would go away, because then more people would access a tool that would help them live their fullest life sooner rather than later. That is like my deepest, most profound wish at this point in life. And it's only because we're on the other side and we're figuring it out and we see the benefits and we're experiencing the benefits. But yeah, I mean, how you articulate that to somebody who was struggling like we were struggling before surgery it's very difficult to do. But it's the power of the community. That's why these conversations and what we do is so important, because it's a little window into this could be your life. We are not any different than you. We are you. You could have this too. So, yes. I keep threatening. I'm gonna make those little bariatric. Have you heard about bariatric surgery? I'm gonna make those cards.
That's amazing. Jesus,
right? It's gonna be us three, our before and afters. Have you heard of bariatric surgery? Can I tell you? Right? The joys. Ah, goodness. All right, Jason. Do you have a final question for me, or are we ready to transition?
No, we can transition.
All right. Well, thank you guys for asking those very important and very interesting questions. I you guys know I'm a little uncomfortable being on the receiving end of that type of thing, but it's very good. And I appreciate that you guys give me the space and the ability to reflect on it, because it's a, as you guys know, it's a freaking trip. It's a freaking trip. So
it's a huge freaking deal. So
yeah, you definitely need the space and the time to reflect on that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, and like, so sometimes it just doesn't feel like a big deal, right? Some days it's just like, this isn't anything special at all. And then I see those before and after pictures of myself, or I see other people who are celebrating like 5 years or 10 years. And I'm like, Oh my God. Okay, this is a big deal. This is a big deal.
It's a big freaking deal. If you ever need a hypoman, it's me. It's a big deal.
Right. It is.
Well, thank you, friends. I very much appreciate you and your push to help me get a little uncomfortable so I can take a moment to reflect. So thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Now I'm going to put myself back in the driver's seat where I feel most comfortable, and we are going to talk about how we have fun after bariatric surgery, because all three of us know that we've had conversations with lots of people that always message us and they're like, oh my God, like, is life after surgery just horrible? And like, tell me all of the bad things. And all three of us are like, I mean, we're having more fun now, I think, than we were before surgery. So we're probably not the best people to talk to about this.
Yeah.
Right. No. So we are here to set the record straight. You have fun after bariatric surgery. And in a lot of cases, you have more fun after bariatric surgery than you did before bariatric surgery. So, right. Let's do this, my friend. So tell us, and maybe now I'll start with you and then Jason, how did you have fun before bariatric surgery?
Well, it usually, I would say 99.9% of the time revolved around food. It was, you know, where are we going to eat first? Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, oh, I should eat this so that I don't get too drunk or something like that, something stupid. But it was just an excuse to eat a ton before we drank. It was usually, where are we going to eat first? And then let's just go drink as much as we can. That was
right?
quite literally exactly what we did.
Yes. And I would concur with you. I think mine definitely went food, alcohol, and then what we were actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which was, yeah, I mean, we will get into that, but okay. Yeah. Jason, what about you? How did you have fun before bariatric surgery?
Mine was always, are we going to eat? Where are we going to eat? If we're going somewhere that doesn't have food, do they have chairs? Am I going to be able to find a place to sit comfortably for the amount of time we're going to be there? How much walking is involved? Because we've got our best friends are literally like, hey, we know if we're involved anywhere, going anywhere with them, there's walking. Like, it's going to be we're not just, oh, it's around the corner over here. Like, we make that joke, but they'll say some shit like it's around the corner, but it'll be like five city blocks. And, you know, you've gone 2.5 miles and, you know, before pre-op, like pre-op, nah, I wasn't going 2.5 miles. And like, I'd get tired going 2.5 miles in a car. So I just got to the point that I was like, you know, that was all my like checklist of questions. Like, what is all of this shit looking like? Because they also don't like, they like snack. So they'll eat like a crouton and an ice cube and they'll be like, nah, I'm full. Ooh, I couldn't do anymore. And I'm over here like, I don't know what the hell kind of meal plan you're on, but your boy needs some ribs and I need a burger and I need, you know. So I'm like, I would pre-eat if I knew we were going with them somewhere because they don't like to eat. And so I was like, yeah, I can't get on the appetizer plan. Like, I need the full meal and then some.
Yeah, but Jason, do you realize what you're saying? We want to know how you have had fun before bariatric surgery. And you just describe things that are not fun. You describe worry, anxiety, right? Like animosity.
Yep.
So it's almost like you did not have fun.
What's funny is I ended up having fun once I knew all of those things were like the checklist was completed one way or another. I just didn't have fun with the walking portion of it all because it was so hard for me to do that. But funny enough, like, it doesn't sound like it, but I always had a blast once I got all the worries out of the way. Like, if I had to eat ahead of time, like, I was golden. Mm-hmm. If I could grab something on the way, good. If we ate where we got, you know, where we were going, awesome. Mm-hmm. But if there was a time where we just had to go and hang out and there was no food available and I had to wait till on the way back, yeah, not so much fun.
Hey guys, it's April. Retreat Drinks Hot Cacao is my absolute favorite warm beverage. Not only is it decadent and creamy, but it's actually healthy for you. Did you know that cacao has over 40 times the antioxidants of blueberries? 40 times! Antioxidants absorb free radicals, which cause cell and tissue damage. And we are on a mission to live our best lives. Retreat Drinks is something that I incorporate almost daily into my life to make sure it's the best. You should definitely check them out. Visit their website at retreatdrinks.com and use the code EASTTOWEST for 20% off your first order. Happy sipping.
It amazes me because I see my experience and your experience, right? It was always, what are we eating? Where are we going? What am I excited to eat at that thing? And then it was almost joyful to feel so full. You were so uncomfortably full. Like almost was part of the fun of it. And
that was the worry about the walk, because I knew I was going to eat so much that if we had to walk somewhere, I would have to alter what I ordered to eat because I couldn't eat too much. Because there was times I would go with them and they'd be like, all right, now we're going to walk down here and go to hang out at this place. And I'd have to stop a couple times on the way thinking I was going to get sick because I ate so much. I was ready to just sit and kind of let everything digest.
Yep.
So that was part of that worry.
Wow. Yeah. You know, and for me, when I think about, I've always been a very active individual, but my activity was always, it always started with food or it was ended with food, or like food was always in the middle. I can remember, I love hot yoga. I can remember, you know, going to, you know, my 90 minute hot yoga classes. They were so wonderful. But then all I was thinking about on the way home is, what are we having for dinner? Right? Like, what am I eating? What am I drinking? It was almost like the joy, the euphoria of that physical activity was instantly stunted as soon as I got in my car, and I was like, and then I was going home to think about food, right? Or it was, oh, I have yoga in 3 hours. I need to hurry up and eat X, Y, Z and drink these things so that I can be prepared to go do this active thing so that then I can go home and eat. I mean, it was just, it was all centered around food. And even though I enjoyed those physical activities, you know, I was having a lot of fun being physical, it was always bookended by food. Food was always.
Did you ever pre-eat knowing you were going to sweat it out at yoga? Pre-eat or drink thinking that you would sweat it out at yoga?
No. Okay. I never got into that mindset. I think what I really thought about with yoga, the biggest thing for me was, am I hydrated enough to be able to do hot yoga? That was always, so I guess that was where I was thinking. But yeah, I didn't do that. But I can remember getting ready to go to a friend's house and being really thinking about like, oh, I wonder if they're going to have this, this, and this, but I really want to eat that. So I'm going to stop at the store and make sure that I bring these things so that I can eat them there in case they don't have them for me.
Yeah, I did that.
That way, if they don't have it, I got it. And if they do have it and I got it, now we got two of them bitches.
Yeah. And like, you know, I lived in Alaska, bars were like, man, it's okay. So a lot of people had like house parties, same thing, you know, oh, they're having a barbecue. I wonder if they'll have this. Oh, they probably won't. So I'm just going to bring it. And then you just binge on that at the party and you're like, wow, see, it was so great that I brought that thing, but it was like, not for other people. It was for me.
Which is just, oh my God, you know, and how I knew my very first, like, when I really had to come to terms for the first time with just how food was controlling me when it came to fun, was that we were going up to Alaska with my parents on their boat, and their boat is huge. They have a yacht. My parents have a yacht. We were going on a private luxury cruise to Alaska, Glacier Bay, right? Like this once in a lifetime opportunity. And I was starting this new diet. I'd paid a bunch of money for it. And I called the counselor, and I was going to push my date back because I knew that this trip was coming back. So I didn't want to be on a diet when I was up in Alaska. And Sharon just deadpan on the phone when I was telling her my panic. And she goes, so are you going to Alaska to eat? And I was like, bitch, how dare you, right? And then I was like, oh. But she just straight called me out and made me realize that I was not excited for Alaska because of luxury cruise, you know, glaciers, mountain, they have whale, you know, family time. No. That was not my top priority. My top priority was the food that I was going to be eating in Alaska.
So you had to hit her. You had to hit her with the maybe.
Right. I mean, it was like, oh my God. Okay. Well, thank you for bringing that to my attention, Sharon. That's exactly what I wanted to go to Alaska thinking about. But
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I just got back right across from the table with that one. Like a family reunion that we do every year. And it is food central. It's like foods that I only get once a year. Like I remember growing up and just binging on anything I could eat, whatever. My mom and I were just talking casually about what we're going to bring because we're all assigned different dishes and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm kind of upset that I have to like make this dish because I'm not even going to eat it. Like, it's kind of annoying, you know? And she was like, yeah, but like, is it that inconvenient? Like, you know, it's just maybe $50 worth of food that like, it's okay that you don't eat, you know? And I was like, yeah, but it's just like annoying that I have to make it and I'm not going to eat it. And she's like, well, I make this salad and I don't eat it. And I was like, oh, she goes, yeah. She goes, what do you think of when you think of the 4th of July? And I was like, well, the food. And she's like, well, I think about all the people I'm going to see and like the experiences I'm going to have. I'm like, oh, that
well,
is
good for you.
Not what I think.
No. Right. And it's in these conversations that you realize like, oh, this is how people who do not struggle with their weight live. This is what it feels like. And this is what it means like to not have food be the center of the universe.
Yep.
Imagine that. Right. So, and I mean, that's really kind of what this is all about. So now that we are all post-op, how have you continued to have fun, or how has fun shifted for you now after surgery? Jason, why don't you answer first?
Now I don't have to worry about any of the shit that I worried about before, because I can walk wherever they walk. I can actually walk farther than they can walk, and I eat less than they eat. I don't worry about all the other stuff. Like, I don't have to care if there's chairs. I don't have to worry about if there's comfortable places to sit. I don't have to worry about not eating too much that I can't walk when I'm done. Like, all of that stuff has 1,000% shifted. And I go out anytime they say anything now, like, hey, we're up here, why don't you come meet us? And I just go. I'm just like, yeah, cool, I'll be there in a minute. Like, I just, and it's not even all the anxiety is gone. I feel like, you know, I've said this before, and I really, honestly, the one thing I can relate it to is I've lost as much weight and anxiety as I have lost physically off of my body. Because the weight off my chest from all the worrying about shit, it's just gone. I just don't have it.
Dude, that is exactly, we were just on the live. Remember when I said that? I said, I feel like I've lost more weight in like not physical weight than in like all of this shit that I was just carrying around for so long. That is so spot on. And really, it sounds to me like, Jason, you have the ability to say yes to fun more often and more frequently now because you're not worried about all that other stuff.
Well, I don't have to rest, and I don't have this, you know, well, we went out yesterday and my legs hurt and I can't, you know, because I mean, I literally can remember one time where we had gone down to the beach to the pavilion. They had some kind of festival, seafood festival or something going on at the pavilion at the beach. And I remember there not being a place to sit down. And I was hurting so bad that I sat kind of on like a sloped curb and leaned against a tree just to have a place to sit. And I remember the most mortifying thing that happened when it was time for me to get up. I had to look around and see if there was somebody big enough to help pick me up if I fell when I got up, because I wasn't sure I was going to be able to stand back up. And being 468 pounds and 6'4", like, I'm not easy to pick up, like, regardless. So I had to look around and spot and be like, there ain't enough people around here that can handle me if I fall down. So this has got to go right the first time. So, and I had to have help getting up, and a stranger ran over and was like, hey, let me help. And I was just crushed because I just couldn't believe it. That one hurt pretty deep. But now that I can do all that and not have to worry about it, it's that alone, even if that was the only thing that I could celebrate post-op, it's worth celebrating.
Wow.
100%.
Wow. Matt, what about you? How has fun changed, or how are you having fun after bariatric surgery?
I feel like for me, it's been more spontaneous. Like Jason was saying, you know, I don't have to plan. Like, I don't have to assess the situation, you know. Stephanie and Katie invited me. Katie VSG was in the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, I was coming home from my big 4th of July weekend. I was tired. And they were like, hey, you know, come hang out with us. Let's go to the beach. Let's go do all this stuff. And I'm like, man, I really had to think about it. I was like, do I have the energy? Because me, you know, a year or two ago would have been like, no, I can't. Like, I just feel too tired and, you know, sore, whatever. And I just said, yeah, let's do it. Let's go have fun. Let's go do all this stuff. And I mean, we went down to the beach. We were on the beach for hours, just walking around, playing, you know, splashing in the water. And I can say yes to things because it's not, I'm not limited, you know. Normally walking in the sand, I would have been like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Like, no, I'm not doing this. Like, oh, cool. Like, I actually just want to go look at the shops over here because it literally being, you know, 400 pounds, it's like walking in the sand. You already feel like I'm, you know, 270. It was already hard enough for me. And so to think like 130 pounds heavier, like there would have been no way. And yeah, it's just more spontaneous. You know, my girlfriends, I'll be after work and I have the mental capacity to say, yeah, let's go out to dinner. Let's, you know, let's go do this thing. Instead of me like a year ago after work, I would have been like, no, I just worked an 8-hour day. Like, I just can't do it. But it's like now I can just say, yeah, let's go. Let's do this thing. Like, I'm ready. Yeah. I'm actually itching to get outside now. You know, and I know I talk about it a lot, but, you know, my walks with Hooper, like every day at 4:30, I'm like crawling out of my skin. Like, just let me out, like get me out of here. And that never happened before.
No, not at all. You know, and what I've really come to appreciate, I'm still thankful for, is that, you know, my fun before bariatric surgery was thinking about food. It was not consuming it. It was not eating it. It was not enjoying it. It was just this, right? It was like, oh, this is fun. No. Now when I get an invitation to go out to dinner, oh my God, the flavors and the textures. And I feel like a culinary, like food blogger, because, you know, I take a bite of something like, oh my God, do you guys taste the basil and the lemon? And oh, look at what it's doing. You know, I mean, you're just like, there's so much joy now in the act of eating. Whereas before there was no joy in that. There was no fun in it. It was just, you know, shoveling food in and not even engaging with it. Well, now I get to talk about food and experience food with my friends and family that I never got to do on a different level, which sounds so backwards because you've had surgery to like eat less food. But I've also had surgery to enjoy food and to get joy out of food and the dining experience or the preparation experience, and to not have anxiety or panic about, well, have I eaten enough or have I eaten too much? Or, oh my God, I'm such a horrible person because I ate, you know, you fill in the blank. No. All of that's gone. So it's almost like I'm able to have fun with food again in a way that I was never able to have fun before. And just to be able to go do those physical things that you guys are talking about, there's so much fun in that. There's so much fun in moving my body and in doing these things together with other people. That's the joy of life. And I was missing out on that before.
Yeah. You know, that term breaking bread, I never thought about it in the way that I do now, because the bread is not the important part. You know, when, I mean, I'm getting kind of biblical. I have background in like, my family is very Catholic. So I hear all these terms all the time, but it's not about the bread. Jesus wasn't like, hey, let's have this amazing bread. It was like, no, it's probably like some white bread that like wasn't very good, but they still enjoy themselves because they're all sitting around the table talking and gathering and enjoying each other's company. And that is what breaking bread means. Mm-hmm. And pre-op me was, it was all about the bread instead of the people.
Yes, it was all about the bread and not the breaking part, right? The sharing and the exchanging. It was just about, how do I get this in as quickly as I can so that I can numb out and not think about all these things that are bothering me. And now it's like, oh my God, I have the mental capacity. It is fun to kind of deal with what I'm going through so that I can be free of that, right? So that I can go get back to that place of contentment and then enjoy my life and people and experiences.
Yep.
Whereas before I couldn't, right? It was preventing that. So we've kind of talked about how, I mean, all of us, we're obviously all foodies, right? Like food is still kind of at the center of a lot of things that we do, which is fine, right? We have a different relationship with that. But what are your favorite ways to have fun now that do not involve food? What do you think, Jason? What's yours? What's your favorite way to have fun that does not involve food?
For me, it's really just putting together things. Like we went yesterday to my niece turned 19 yesterday, and she's got she's enlisted in the Army now. This was yesterday. So yesterday was her enlistment party. So we went and did that, but literally they threw together some sandwiches in the kitchen, like did a whole big like sub, and they just cut it up for people. But we spent all day in the backyard. Like we were in the pool, we were playing, like, you know, we were playing cornhole, we were playing, you know, giant Jenga. Like we were doing all this stuff that had nothing to do with all the food that was upstairs inside. And before, I wouldn't have left the table inside. Like I would have come out on the balcony a couple times and talk a little shit, and then been right back inside at the table. And I don't think I was at the table twice. You know, maybe if I was walking back and forth to the bathroom, maybe that was about it.
Yeah.
Like I got in the pool for the first time since they've had their pool. And because they were always like, well, you know, you need to get in. And I'm like, nah, I don't trust the ladder. Like the ladder's not for me. The ladder's for everybody else. And they're like, yeah, but you could probably just get in. I'm like, I'm not breaking your ladder or the side of your pool or any of that. You know, I'm just not doing it. I won't do it.
Yeah.
So I would sit on the side, right? You know, all those things. I just sat and watched everybody else do that stuff. No, this, I was getting in the pool. I was like, I'm not breaking your ladder now. So I'm in. Like I sat in, and the craziest thing, and I meant to post about it, but I forgot. And I was too in the moment to even worry about my phone to do it. But I sat in one of those camping chairs that has like the swing. That's the swinging camping chair.
Yes.
And I didn't break it. Like I eased down in that thing so much. Like I was like, cause I was like, I waited. Once I started to put weight on it, I was like, is this shit gonna buckle on me? Like, I don't know about that. And I sat there and was like, huh. I was like, it's holding. And then so the while like I started actually rocking in it and stuff, I was like, oh, this is cool. And so I spent half the day in that just because I could. I was like, this is awesome. I don't need to sit down, but it's awesome that I can. So I'm going to do it.
Wow. Oh, that is awesome. So your fun, your non-food related fun is doing physical things. It's physically moving your body in new ways. Awesome.
Yeah, just because I can, because I don't have to sit down anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, what about you, Nat? What are your favorite ways to have fun?
You know, I would say the same thing. You know, like today I went out to brunch with my cousin. We had brunch, you know, we enjoyed our brunch, we enjoyed our meal. And then, you know, we weren't quite ready to wrap things up. We're like sisters, so we can talk forever. And I live by a lake. It's called Green Lake. And I just thought, hey, you want to go like take a walk? Like, do you want to go walk Green Lake? It's like 3.5 miles, mind you. Like, it's not like a small lake. And yeah, so we just enjoyed our time. We walked fast sometimes, other times we'd stop, and you know, but just being present and like moving my body has been really fun for me. You know, and also just getting to know people more. I feel like, you know, back to the mental capacity part, it's like I have time and space in my brain to really get deep with people, and I really like that. I've always liked it. I like people. I like talking to people about things, and so that's been fun for me too, is, you know, while we're moving our bodies, also having like really interesting conversations and learning new things and getting to know people on another level. So that's been my fun.
I relate to that on every level. I am the same way. I've really found a lot of fun and a lot of enjoyment out of just having moments of intimate conversations, right? We're sitting on the back patio, or we are walking downtown Gig Harbor, or we're going for a walk around the lake, or we're sitting on the dock and we're just conversating, right? Like, and you said it so well, because this happened to us, and that when you came up and Steph came up for a weekend at my house, our original plan was like, oh, we're going to do all this content. And we literally did nothing for 3 full days except connect with each other. Like, that was all we did. We went kayaking, we went to the beach, we long walked, right? I mean, that was what we did. And it was so much fun. It was just enjoyable to kind of reconnect with people, or connect with people that you just don't know well, and build these new friendships. I think that the building of the friendship part is fun. That is, yeah, that is what has been a lot of fun. And I know for me too, that I'm having a lot of fun shopping again, but not in a weird way. I'm having a lot of fun discovering my sense of style and putting clothes on and taking pictures of myself or making videos and like styling things. I really enjoy putting together a look and a style and feeling very confident in that. That's a lot of fun for me. And I have been able to do that in a way that's not like, it's not an addiction transfer thing. I'm not spending more money than what I have on it. It's just, it's a legit, like I enjoy that. And I'm having a lot of fun doing that. And it's brought a lot of joy in an area of my life that I didn't feel joy in before. And I'm very excited to be, you know, to be experiencing that again. So yeah. Dang.
Yeah. I would agree with you on the style thing too. It's not something I thought of before, but like this, I mean, like today, like I'm wearing something that I would have never worn, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, it's fun. And I've always been obsessed with like Project Runway and like all these fashion shows and getting to see and feel different textures and fabrics and see how they feel on me and how I can embody that vibe, or you know, what is my vibe, is it this or is it this, you know, and just getting to kind of play, same with my makeup and my hair. It's like, okay, now I get to kind of reinvent me, and it is really fun. And it's fun, again, I'm not doing it in really an addiction transfer way either, you know. I'm pretty frugal with what I spend, but you know, if someone's like, hey, I'm getting rid of clothes, I am digging in that bag. I'm like, what is in there that will fit me or my personality? And yeah, I think that's really fun too.
It is. Yep. And I think for so long, even Jason, I know you've talked about this, you have a very unique sense of style yourself, and you've really enjoyed honing in on your style and really, you know, presenting your physical body and the way that you want to present it to others. And you found a lot of fun in that.
Yeah, definitely. Especially one of the things I've noticed too, and everybody that's been watching us for long enough knows, the beard has trimmed significantly down because I am now a member of the single chin gang. So I don't have to hide it anymore with the apron. So between that, I used to be the most laziest with shaving and haircuts and all that stuff that goes along with that. But now I'm realizing that the more I change my style and buy, you know, shirts that actually are different than stuff that I was wearing, you know, pre-op, I've noticed like, oh, I need to shave. I need to get a haircut. I need to keep everything up with what I'm wearing and the things that I'm doing and the way I present myself, because I can't go out, you know, looking like a hobo up top, but I've got on nicer clothes and, you know, my shoes are all nice and bleached and like cleaned up and like ready to go. But, you know, I look like Teen Wolf up top. Like I can't do that. So, you know, that's kind of more like I've noticed just the other day, I hacked a bunch off the beard again because I was like, it got out of control and I wasn't really trimming it like I should have been. And so I realized that I wanted to go get a haircut. So I'm like, before I get a haircut, I got to trim my beard because otherwise it's not going to look right. So yeah, those are all things that have kind of incorporated into also with the shopping and buying, you know, being excited to actually fit better clothes again.
Taking care of ourselves probably for the first time in a very long time is fun after surgery, because like I said, you know, and we've all experienced this. We see more of ourselves in the mirror. We're feeling confident about the decisions that we're making. We have the mental capacity to really dive into ourselves at a deeper level. And, you know, taking care of ourselves turns out to be fun, which is something that I think none of us ever thought. Oh my gosh, you guys. Well, this is an amazing conversation, as always. I would love to give you guys the floor, though. Is there any advice or one piece of, you know, like insight or encouragement that you would like to offer people who are maybe pre-op and worried about fun, or people who are post-op and are maybe struggling to have fun? What's a little nugget of wisdom or information that you want to pass on to people about fun after bariatric surgery?
Matt, go ahead.
I just want people to know that it is possible to have fun, and you have to experiment. Your idea of fun is going to be different than it was before, and there will be a period of unknowing and confusion and just truly not knowing what is fun to you. but just be open-minded. Let yourself have fun. When you feel like you're having fun, roll with it. Like, just go and have fun, and don't let your idea of fun trump what is actually fun to you.
Oh my God. So powerful, Nat. So powerful. That is spot on. I think my little piece of advice, or my little thing of wisdom, is to let people know that you can have fun and have food involved after bariatric surgery. It is possible. It's a big piece of joy, and you can get to the point where food is not the center, but food is a part of it, and you can still enjoy that experience. You are allowed to enjoy that experience, and that's a really freeing place to be.
Yeah.
Jason, my friend, what about you?
Don't be afraid of the party. Don't be afraid of the potluck. Don't be afraid of the dinner. Don't be afraid of whatever the hell, whatever is attached to whatever gathering it is. Don't be afraid of it. Just go. Accept the phone call, accept the plans, accept the invite. Just go. You'll figure it out on the fly, because you did it before. You can do it again, post-op, pre-op, on the fence, doesn't matter. You're going to go. You're going to have a good time. You'll figure out what your good time is, like Natalie said. It may not always be the same, but if it is, it is. Just don't worry about it. Quit stressing, because this, you know, we had this to live our second chance at life. So live it. Get out there and do it. You're not going to, you can't sit on the bleachers anymore. You got to get in the game. You got to go and just live.
Right. You are not on the loser's bench anymore. You are first string. Get out there. Get out there and play your game. Oh, I love it. God, again, apart we're smart, but together we're brilliant. You guys are amazing. Miss Natalie, thank you for joining us today. This very powerful conversation could only happen because you joined us. So thank you, my friend.
Of course. Wouldn't miss it.
Nope. I know. All right, Jason, my friend, you want to take us out?
Yes, ma'am. Appreciate everybody for all the support that you guys have given us, all the likes, the shares, the subscribes. Please keep that going. You can also rate the podcast on any of the podcast players that we have. You can also leave reviews and messages on our YouTube as well. And April, if you want to tell them about the Patreon side of things.
Yes. So if you love the support that you're getting from East to West, you can support us monthly by becoming a patron of East to West. So a $5 gift literally like helps us keep the lights on. And we love to thank our patrons by like exclusive AMAs and other events. So if you'd like to learn more, definitely visit our Patreon page. Just go to www.patreon.com/East2WLS. And the other thing I want to let people know too is that you can actually leave us a voice message on our Anchor homepage, and then we can incorporate it into the podcast. It is so rad, you guys. So if you have feedback, if you have a question, if you just want to tell us something, go to our Anchor homepage and then scroll down a little bit on your phone and click leave a message, and you just record it straight from your phone. So to find that, just go to anchor.fm/East2WLS, and that's where you'll find us. So yeah, two really great ways to interact with us and support East to West.
Absolutely. And don't forget, you've got this, we've got you, and we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.